Misguided Curse of King Tut. Howard Carter lives, the archaeologist, but the money backer, Lord Carnarvon, dies along with his dog. The Curse of King Tut has stirred up all sorts of books and stories and whatever else. And probably we need to start off with the fact that the curse that supposedly accompanies King Tut's tomb is pretty much a general curse that you would find on any tomb throughout Egypt. It's not uncommon at all. As a matter of fact, Egyptian curses are a lot less catastrophic than Mesopotamian curses, because Mesopotamian curses frequently have associations that your goats will be sterilized, your cattle will be sterilized, and all sorts of other stuff. This is just basically a warning in Egypt, don't enter the tomb. The story actually starts or comes from the fact that Howard Carter was so thorough in excavating the tomb that he didn't bring out a lot of objects for almost a year, because they wanted everything photographed on location, make sure everything, you know, did it have some significance, and of course the press is hanging around unmercifully trying to get in, get pictures, so forth and so on. And one story is that the guards, to keep the journalists away, told them the story about the curse and that people in the camp were dropping dead, rather unusually. Of course, they print it, and here we go. Now, let's look at a couple of things. Again, it's the first steps are found on November 4th, 1922, and the telegram is sent to Carnarvon to come to Egypt. That will take place on the 23rd of November when Lord Carnarvon arrives. Then on the 26th, they'll remove about 30 feet of rubble, and it's the 26th of November that the tomb is first entered. You know, they knock a hole in, and then the Carnarvon says to Carter, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see wonderful things." Actually, Carter's not the first person in the tomb. They knocked a small hole in the tomb door, and one of the smaller children of one of the workmen was put into the tomb with a lantern. Because if you just knock a hole in and peek through the hole, there's no light in the tomb. You have to think about that logically. There's no light in the tomb. So to see anything, there has to be light in there. So this little kid was put in there and with the lantern. Needless to say, he lived to be 65 or 70. Then once the door is open, Carter goes in, Carnarvon goes in, and a lot of the people would say, that's pretty much it. Well, the next day, there are hundreds of Egyptian officials from all over the country that want in. So there is a literal entourage of all these people coming and going and coming and going. You can find all the complete details in Howard Carter's journal, which he kept. Now, of course, the people with the curse will say, oh, yeah, and a few days later, Lord Carnarvon dies of mysterious reasons. Okay, he enters the tomb on the 26th of November. He dies on April the 5th, 1923, months later. Lord Carnarvon cut himself shaving. In those days, they used straight-edge blades or real primitive razor that we would have, what we would call a safety razor. It will still cut you up pretty good. And he didn't have it seen to, and it became infected. If you look in the journal of Carter on several occasions said, you know, you need to go to the doctor. You need to have somebody take care of that. And he ends up dying of blood poisoning. And he's not a well man to begin with. He had been injured in many automobile accidents and couldn't do that any longer. He only weighed 123 pounds. On the day that he died, and when he was 56 years of age. And then there's a story that goes that when Lord Carnarvon died, at the same time, his little dog back in England yips and then drops dead. And that may have happened. It may have been just coincidence. And they'll even say, oh, yeah, you know, the electricity went out in Cairo. Well, the electricity went out two or three times a day in Cairo, so that's nothing really strange. So we're going after the money man, and we're going after the dog five or so months later. Almost no one who went in who was a government official dropped dead quickly. And if you look at the whole group of people that worked there, Okay, of the 26 people who were there on the opening of the tomb in 1922, only six of them died within the next 20 years. Now understand, this is 1922 and 23. Life expectancies are significantly lower than they are now. Of the 22 people who in 1925 witnessed the opening of the sarcophagus, only two of those people died in the next 10 years. There were 10 people there when the mummy was unwrapped. None of those people died in the next 10 years. Burton, the photographer, who was in the tomb most of the time for almost an entire year taking photographs, lived to be 60 years old, dying in 1940. Lady Evelyn, the daughter of Lord Carnarvon, who was also in on the tomb at the opening, died at the age of 79 in 1980. And then, if I'm going to put a curse on somebody, it's going to be Dr. Derry. Dr. Derry is the man who did the autopsy, who basically broke off one of King Tut's arms in the process. He lived to be 87. He didn't die until 1969. So, you know, when you talk about a curse, it's one of those cases where if you're very careful and you take some people and leave out some of the facts, suddenly it makes sense. But statistical evaluation shows that most of the people on the excavation lived longer than the average life expectancy. So, and some of the workers went on to become major leaders in the Egyptian antiquities market. So I don't think Carnarvon's dog was knocked off by the curse, and neither was Carnarvon. And then here's a little funny story, too, about Lady Evelyn. When she died in 1980 and they read her will, the butler, who is ancient in the family, said, well, what are we to do with Lady Evelyn's King Tut artifacts? And they look at him and they said, what are you talking about? He said, well, she had some artifacts that she kept for herself in a private place, and I just assumed it would have been in the will, but they weren't mentioned in the will. So he took them to a little secret hideaway of hers, and they open it up, and there's some statues and some figurines and some things that no one were even aware of. They've since been donated to the British Museum. But that's the story of King Tut and his tomb. I would really highly recommend reading Carter's journal. Carter frequently is mistreated because he's working for a wealthy man, and so they look at him as a mercenary archaeologist. He's not a snooty guy working for some university. And he is methodical. I tell you what, if I'd opened the tomb, I'd have been running out of there with the gold objects. I couldn't have held out for months. I couldn't have waited all the, 18 or 19 days for my boss to show up. I'd have knocked a hole in the wall and gone gung-ho right after it. So read there's plenty of books on King Tut, and I would particularly look more at the picture books or some of the books that deal with Carter. So enjoy, and don't forget to come by my website, sumahistorica.com, and see some of the other ruminations that I have for your podcast. Thank you.